Hi, everybody. Hal Eisner here. Thanks for joining us again. You know, charitable organizations are so important in this country. They serve such a fundamental purpose, and they bring hope to so many people. Unfortunately, there are downtimes for some of these organizations, especially ones we really get to know through their primary fundraising efforts. And for the Salvation Army, it's the bell ringing, the kettle collecting at Christmas time. Wasn't so good this past year, but that doesn't mean there's not hope. Let's listen to their story. Let's go around the table and each of you introduce yourself.
My name is Colonel John Chamness, and I'm the divisional commander of the Salvation Army in Southern California.
It's actually Lieutenant Colonel.
It is.
I know that. All right, Steve.
Yeah, Steven Seriange, and I'm a volunteer at Salvation Army, Pasadena Corps.
The interesting thing about Steve is that he just moved here within the last year from Uganda with his family. And so welcome to the U.S. and to this podcast.
My name is John Burt. I just went through my second year with the Salvation Army, working the kettle, ringing a bell, and I had a good time.
Okay, great. Anne?
My name is Heather Prickett, and I was the 2018 kettle coordinator for Pasadena's Salvation Army.
Is there a different one every year?
There can be.
Are you going to do 2019?
That's the question of the year.
Oh, as we used to say, the $64,000 question. So let me ask the coordinator first. How do you coordinate these things?
With a lot of patience, a lot of prayer, and some great people on your team.
And when I say how do you coordinate this, how many kettles are there? How many people are involved? How many different malls do you go to?
Well, that can be, it varies between locations as far as cores and everything. But ours, we set out for this year, we set out about anywhere from 18 to 25 a day. So we've had a little less this year.
So Colonel, 30. Pick up on that because you guys do a lot of services. You have a lot of things that you do, but you also have a money shortfall this year in one of the areas, and that's the kettle drive. And that's where we interface most with you guys.
Yeah, you know, the Salvation Army kettle is a really iconic, I think, a part of our Christmas tradition. It's been around for 125 years. You see it in every Christmas movie, Christmas TV show, where there will be
guys and
somebody
dolls
out on the street ringing a bell at Christmas time. And it's really become a part of our American culture. And it's an important element of the Salvation Army to really get out there in front of the public and tell a little bit about what we do. It's a small part of what we do, but it's certainly an important part.
Now, what we know is from sort of assessing the 2018 campaign during the holidays, the bucket take wasn't so great. It was about 6% down.
Yeah, we're about 6% down across the division. That's from San Diego to San Luis Obispo. That's the area that we cover.
And that's about $300,000 in lost donations?
Yep, that's about $300,000 this year that we are below what we needed to make to provide all the services that we offer.
Why'd that happen?
A number of reasons. One was that with the good economy, it was hard to find people to come out and stand at a kettle. We use both volunteers, which we really depend on heavily, but we also get paid workers to come out and stand at kettles. And when there's lots of jobs available, unfortunately, it's difficult to get them to come out and ring a bell.
But there's also the issue of people shopping online and the unintended consequence of being impacted by that.
We're seeing that more and more with more people shopping online and not going to retail stores to buy their Christmas gifts. Certainly that lessens the number of people that are going into stores and going in front of our kettles. And that is something that we really depend on.
You probably never saw that coming.
We've been seeing it coming for a while now. But
oh, you have?
I mean, it's the reality, I think, of where we're at today. I mean, you see stores like Kmart and Sears and Toys R Us and big retailers that are closing. And those for, many, years, even some decades, were really the hallmark of the Salvation Army Christmas kettle. They were out in front of those stores ringing, and they really were an important part of us. And with those closing, we have less sites to put out. Heather just spoke of the sites that we have in Pasadena, but we have sites, hundreds of sites across Southern California that we ring those bells at.
So one of the things that we see when we go online and we look at, some of the videos of people doing the bells is some of the bell ringers are fairly creative. Some of them will dance, some of them will sing, and do more than just ring the bell. Do you encourage that?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we encourage our bell ringers to do is to engage with the public as they walk in. In places like Times Square, that's where you see a lot of those bell ringers that are being a little bit more active, you might say. And, you know, they've got to do that because if they don't do that, they're not going to attract people to come and put money in the kettle.
Right. But I would say it's not just more active. It's more fun.
It is. It's more fun.
So why not do it here?
Doing it locally. You know, it's always hard to find people that are able to do some of those things well. And some stores, the reality is some stores don't want us to do those things. They want us to be very calm.
Yeah, but if you went down to LA Live in downtown Los Angeles, where there's a lot of foot traffic down there, why not have a couple of guys like Steve and Mr. Bird over there doing a little hip-hop or something, you know?
I'm sure they would do great at that. They're
I'll sing, you know?
Dancers.
Hey, one, just two, three, into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg, Dr. Dre is at the door. Boom, boom.
Well, you know, and that's a great way for volunteers to get engaged. I mean, we would love to have brass band groups from high schools come out or
why don't
groups.
You?
Oh,
actually,
I think
we
invite them to come. It's
our band actually plays too.
Your band being
The Pasadena Tabernacles Band.
Okay,
it was out in front of Crate and Barrel in downtown Old Town.
So does that draw more people?
Yeah, they actually do really great, and within 4 hours, it can be a couple hundred dollars.
So does that say that when you give more, you get more?
I would say it can be. We had some great bell ringers who were just they became part of the storefront, and they became the face of that store for that season, and people were like, where'd they go if they weren't there? So it was kind of fun to see that, and we had some paid workers this year who sang, and they had a great voice. So there's some that, like me, you wouldn't want me to sing in front of the store.
Oh, come on, go ahead.
Oh no.
So John and Steve, tell me what kind of experiences you've had, maybe a couple of anecdotes about being at the Bell and things people have said to you. And speak into the mic.
Well, I noticed that it does help to give. When I'm out there, I want to try to give them something. I try to let them know that I just put in an effort because I'm not a singer. I'm not a dancer. But I do try to greet them in the most friendly way that I can. I do keep eye contact with them, and I find that that will attract them more than if I was just to stand there and not do anything. People want to feel like they want to feel accepted, and they feel good when you're there trying to give them something. That's the impression I try to give them. I don't want them to think, hey, I'm here, I want your money, give your money. You know, we're taught not to ask for the money. We're taught just to greet them. And some of them want to stop and talk, that's fine. I've received a lot of great stories from people about how the Salvation Army helped them during the wars. And Salvation Army has been around for a long time.
What's the biggest donation you've ever gotten? Anybody ever stuff a $100 bill in there?
No, I've never received a $100 bill. One guy dropped two $250s in there. He folded them up and put them in there. So I would say that would be the largest that I've ever.
That's
had.
Really nice. That's very generous, Steve. What about you?
Yeah, being the first time doing this, it was very interesting because I came across quite a number of very generous people. And not drifting away from what John has said is the courtesy, being courteous to the clients that walk into the store. You know, people from wherever they've come from, many of them maybe need someone to talk to them, someone to greet them, someone to say thank you to them. Maybe they've not had this in days. So it's basically what we do, to show the love to the people that come into the store. And then, in response, many a times, many of them will give back by putting the money in the kettle.
What still remains is the notion that more people are buying online and less people are getting by your kettles, and that's dropping the amount of money you get. I know you've said you've had an increase in online donations, but still, this problem isn't going to reverse itself, likely, that people are going to suddenly start running to the stores so that they can put money in the kettle if they're training themselves to shop online. How many online agencies like Amazon or places like that are you working with to try to get your image of your kettle on their site during the holidays so that people see it and maybe donate because they're not getting to the store to do it?
So we've done a number of things. We certainly want banner ads on different websites like Amazon and places where people are going and purchasing their Christmas gifts at Christmas time. We get other retailers that are online that will sponsor a Red Kettle on their sites. We're also encouraging people during the Christmas season to start their own online kettle. We have the ability to do that where individuals in a community can start their own online kettle, and it's all secure in the back end. It all goes right to the Salvation Army. And that's a great way for people that maybe can't go out and volunteer at a kettle. They can have a virtual kettle online, and they can get their friends to support the Salvation Army that way.
Have you been doing that at all, or is this
We've been doing that for a couple of years.
And now, how's that going?
It's going okay. You know, it's always hard to get people engaged in doing that type of activity. I think where we're seeing the best results are through banner ads and through, you know, different online retailers that will support the Salvation Army and have a link there to give to the Salvation Army at Christmas.
Yeah, but let me kind of pose this. I have a lot of social media presence, and I know a lot of people that are connected to me and connected to somebody else and connected to somebody else and connected to, but I've never seen a kettle online.
Ah, then we need, yes.
Well, no, but, yeah, yeah, but, no. But so.
I think there's a great opportunity for us to continue to promote
I'm just, that. No, but I'm just saying, yeah. I'm not looking to put a kettle on my Facebook page. I'm just simply saying. Oh, I know. Come on. But I'm just saying, I mean, is that what you're doing? You're getting people to put them on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff?
I'm not sure the reach.
Is that what you're trying to do?
It's primarily a web-based.
It's more web-based, yeah.
So it's not necessarily.
So web in what way?
Like a website rather than Facebook.
So like HalEisner.com, which I have. That's where it would go.
Yes, that's where you.
Why not go to Facebook? Well, why not do that?
So you can promote it through Facebook. So you promote it on your Facebook page, and then you click on the link, and it takes you to the website.
All right, so kettles are not just Christmas. That's when we really see that stuff. But you do the campaigning year-round. So let's say right this minute, if somebody wanted to put a kettle on their Facebook page, how would they do that?
So we typically just do the kettle, virtual kettle, during the Christmas season. Year-round, you can just go to our website at calsouth.org, calsouthsalvationarmy.org, and make your donation there.
Okay, so we get to the holidays. What are we talking about? November, Thanksgiving time?
Yeah, really that Thanksgiving time through the end of the year.
And so let's say I want to put a kettle on my Facebook page. How do I do that?
You would just contact your local Salvation Army, and we can help you set that up.
And you would actually have a little icon that's a kettle?
Yeah, it's
and you click it and it takes you to a page where you can put money in?
Where you can select whatever you want to donate to the Salvation Army that Christmas season. And the important thing is that it's a secure background. So, you know, it's not going to that person. It's actually going to the Salvation Army. It links to us in the back end.
But will there be a bell ringer?
There will not
be. I want to be able to hear Steve and John doing the bell thing online.
I'm sure they
can still hear the bells. Can you make that happen?
I'm not sure I can make that happen.
Well, you know, I think the most important thing is that organizations like yours and so many others have been reaching out for donations for a very long time. That's a given. What hasn't been a given is the notion that people are not going to the usual places.
You know, our world is changing. Our society is changing. The way we do business, the way we purchase things. I mean, even the grocery store anymore. You can just go online and purchase your groceries.
Yeah, I haven't tried that yet, but I know you can do it.
I haven't tried it yet either. I still like the idea of going in and touching and feeling and seeing what I'm purchasing.
Well, I like the idea of going in, touching, feeling, and seeing what I'm purchasing and seeing how much it costs. That's the other part I like to look at. Yeah. But I do see such a change in the way we function. Because of computers, because of social media, because of all those sort of things. And I guess the moral of the story is you have to fall in line.
We do. And I think we're making a good effort. Certainly, it's not where we need to be yet, but we're making that effort to get online and to really have that presence on the World Wide Web.
So I know that you're trying to pick up your losses from the kettle online. And that you have had some level of success with that.
Yeah.
But the kettle thing is such an important issue for you because, as you pointed out, it does give you the interface with people. It's your chance to engage one-on-one. How are you going to beef that up? How are you going to deal with that?
So this year, actually, we came out with a campaign to increase that presence and to make our presence look better. So we came up with a better uniform, we believe, that will really help people identify the work people working for us. We also changed our banners on our kettle donation sites, where it talks a little bit about what the Salvation Army is doing in that community. And that, to me, how that's the most important thing. It's certainly that we need to raise the money, but it's what happens with that money? Where does it go? How does it help people? How does it bring about change?
Answer that question, because I think a lot of people don't necessarily know what you do.
So the Salvation Army is probably one of the largest providers of social services across Southern California. Last year alone, we provided over 1.3 million meals to people. So that's ensuring that people that are living on the streets, people that are hungry, actually have a meal to eat. 1.3 million meals last year alone. We housed almost a half a million people, half a million nights of shelter. So that's people, again, living on the streets, homeless people, people that are struggling to make ends meet. They found a place to stay. They found a roof over their head because of the Salvation Army, because of that red kettle. Almost 70,000 of those people were veterans. The Salvation Army is one of the largest providers of services to veterans outside of the VA. That's everything from the rental assistance programs that we have, the new 64-unit apartment building that we built where veterans can actually live the rest of their lives and have all those services that they need. It sends kids to camp every summer. We provide an opportunity for a couple thousand kids every summer to go to one of our summer camps. And those things are life-changing for people. We put clothes on people's back. We put food in their stomach, and we put a roof over their head. And the Salvation Army has decided that by 2028, when the Olympics come to L.A., we're going to be one of the major forces in terms of eliminating homelessness here in Los Angeles.
How are you going to do that?
So we currently have a shelter over in the City Bell. It houses 500 men and women every night. We just opened a 64-unit apartment building right next door to that. So when they complete going through the shelter part of that program, they then can move into our long-term, or actually for the rest of their lives, into our apartment building.
Are you working with the city on this?
We're working with many cities across the Southern California.
I ask because I know Mayor Garcetti for Los Angeles is this has been a big issue for him.
We met with him just a few weeks ago to talk about our plan to really participate in his plan to end homelessness by 2028. And the nice thing about the Salvation Army is that we're in every community across Southern California. In Anaheim, we're opening up a 225-bed emergency shelter the middle of this January. And that's really come about on a very quick basis. The city of Anaheim has worked really well with the Salvation Army. They're paying for all of this program to get off the ground here very quickly. That's the first step of our larger shelter that will be up to 600 beds that we hope to build in the next 2 years.
But we have this issue, and it's you're addressing it, and that's we have a housing crisis.
Yep.
And so we have a housing crisis. We have too many people out on the street that don't have a place to stay.
Yep.
Some of them would like that, and some of them don't. And then there's counseling, and then there's mental health issues.
And addiction issues.
And are you dealing with the mental health issues and the addiction? How are you doing that?
So through our different shelters, we will have counselors that will work with people that come in. And everybody's different. Everybody has some different need. So most people have a dual diagnosis today, so they'll come in not just with mental health issues, but addiction issues and many other issues. And we team that person up with a counselor, somebody that will help to begin helping that person to make those steps that they need to make to put their life back together. And we see this happen over and over again. It requires a minimum of 50 contacts with a homeless person before you can build a relationship and invite them to come into one of your shelters. That takes a lot of work by our street teams that go out to these different communities like Skid Row just to talk and meet with these people to build that trust so that we can invite them in. That's the first step. Then once we get them into the shelter, it's identifying really what that individual person needs to make the next step, and then the next step. So we put a plan together for that person that would it would include goals for that person. You know, and a lot of these are just baby steps, you know, just to do this today and then again to do that tomorrow. So it's a long process, takes time. but it's everything from the mental health to the addiction to the lack of housing to finding employment. We're working with different employers across Southern California who will take our clients right out of one of our shelters after they've been with us for a sufficient amount of time. We've got employers that are willing and wanting to hire people right out of our programs. So those are just some of the things, the many things that we're doing.
You know, it's interesting to hear about that because it really is a big issue here. Homelessness is, whether it's Orange County, LA County, Riverside, San Bernardino, it doesn't really matter. It's just people everywhere and tents everywhere and more tents everywhere and even a few more tents in places. I mean, it's just blossomed. And I do understand all of the propositions we've had and all the money that's been requested and all the things that have been done. It just feels sometimes, and I'm going to throw this out there for your reaction, it feels sometimes like it's a monumental task.
It is. It's not going to be something that we're going to solve overnight. That's why we're saying 2028. That's 9 years from now.
Yeah, but can you even do it in 9 years? I mean, that seems like a long time.
We've always had I don't know if we've always had homelessness, but homelessness certainly
sure
has been.
Sure we have. I mean, go back to the 20s and 30s. You know, buddy, can you lend me a dime? You know, yes, we have no bananas. That was a song back then. You guys probably don't know that. But I mean, you know, this is not new.
It's not new. It's going to take, I think, a different tack than what we've done in the past. And this is where I really like what I'm seeing happening right now is that you've got government coming together, nonprofit coming together, and the missing element, I think, sometimes is the for-profit community. I think nonprofits could learn a lot from the for-profit community as well as the for-profit could learn a lot from the nonprofit. But I think when you bring government, nonprofit, and for-profit together to really figure out a solution, right now we just keep pushing them aside. We can't do that. We have to come up with a solution. Housing, affordable housing is certainly really key to this. Jobs that pay a livable wage, certainly key to this. But then helping people deal with their emotional issues. Many of the women and the men that we deal with are struggling with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Many of the women that we deal with, have been abused and suffer from just unimaginable stories of abuse that they've had occur in their life. So it's not going to be solved overnight. But I think if we, you know, it's the starfish story, throw one back in the ocean at a time. And soon I think, you know, we'll make a pretty significant dent in this.
So let's go around the table for sort of a final thought on this. I mean, this is an organization that's been around how many years now?
153 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And when it started because
William Booth, our founder, in London, England, you know, this was during the 1860s and really saw that in the East End of London, there was poverty and the church wasn't doing anything about it. So the Salvation Army is a church with its sleeves rolled up. Our mission statement is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and meet human needs in his name without discrimination.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that the Salvation Army is actually a religion.
Yeah.
I think people think of that as a nonprofit organization. And so does that cut across a strange line that, you know, religion and nonprofits, they work together.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't know what I'm saying, because it just feels to me like I didn't know until just recently that the Salvation Army was, in fact, a religion like Judaism or Catholicism or anything else. It started as a Methodist
That's
based religion,
yeah.
Right?
William Booth was a Methodist circuit preacher. But, you know, I think it works really well. What did Jesus say the greatest commandment was? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we do in the Salvation Army. Love God and love others.
And do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Well, absolutely. And you love them.
And so that love manifests itself in some of the things you're trying to do with the homeless, with what you guys have done in trying to raise money out there and encourage people to drop something in the bucket, and the efforts that you've all made to try to even go online and try to see if you can stir up some of the money that you're losing out on the street because people are shopping more online. Is that about sum it up?
Yeah, I think we're always looking for new ways to raise money to support the mission of helping people. 2.7 million people last year helped by the Salvation Army in Southern California. 6,700 people every day get helped by the Salvation Army. I don't know if there's anybody else that even comes close to doing the work that the Salvation Army does.
That's a good note to end on. Oh, I was going to have you guys dance. Well, good luck to them, and you know what? Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate every time you come along to listen to one of these podcasts. So I hope, if you're not, you'll subscribe to What the Hal, because what the hell?